Okay, hi Nate.
Hello.
Hi Nate, thank you for interviewing with us today at F&B Business School. So, Nate and me have known each other since, I don't know, 20 years. We went to school together in Switzerland. And I remember Nate being really bubbly and alive.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
you've
true.
Been busy, so just tell us a little bit about yourself, yeah? Personal life, what's happening, where you live,
sure.
Stuff like that.
You know, I started in upstate New York, working in the industry when I was just a kid. Running a ice cream stand was my first food and beverage job, scooping ice cream, and then ran a deli and went on to college to continue the food and beverage aspect. Went to La Roche, finished up. I did an extra year back in the States to get a bachelor's as well. From there, I went into big hotels. I worked for the Ritz-Carlton, then I went and worked for St. Regis for a while.
Nice.
And they burned me out, I'm not going to lie. I left hotels and was a ski bum for a couple years, just bartending, doing whatever, and then decided to buy a restaurant in San Francisco with my brothers and my best friend, who coincidentally, all but one of my brothers was in hospitality and has hospitality degrees and worked in hotels and culinary art degrees, which is just kind of funny. You don't usually find four partners that all actually went to school for it.
Right.
So we bought our first restaurant, which is full service, you know, full liquor, sit-down restaurant waiters in San Francisco in 2004.
Right.
A year and a day
What's
later,
that
we
called?
opened Sauce.
Sauce, okay.
Yep. And then so a year and a day later, we opened our nightclub, which was called Shine. That was just a bar-only, you know, DJ-driven dance club. And we had for a while, and then we were able to purchase our building in San Francisco, I believe around 2009, I'm not sure on the date, but in that general area, and that came with a very run-down hotel, and we refabbed the entire hotel, turned it into a little boutique inn.
Nice.
As we got older and married and started having kids, the nightclub became a lot less fun. So we actually sold the nightclub and then bought our second restaurant, which is also called Sauce, which is called Sauce Belden. It's the area it's in San Francisco. And that's also a full-service, full-bar restaurant. And when we did that, we created a management consultant company. We do consulting for large airports, for like SSP America, for bar installs, for food and beverage operations. We also took over running a general store that my parents have in New York that also has a food and beverage component to it, which is just basically a deli, butcher shop, ice cream stand, that kind of stuff. And we have plans. We just started that to revamp the entire food and beverage operation here and are working on another hotel. So that's pretty much brings you up to date on what I do.
That's a long journey. And it's good you had some help, I think, you know, with your brother and partner. Sounds like a lot. So, what's the main reason you're in business now, for you personally?
For me personally, I mean, I'm in business to make money. I mean, the bottom line is make money. Come on. But the reason I'm in this business is I love it. You know, like I get a lot of satisfaction. You know, when you do somebody's wedding and it just goes off without a hitch and you see the whole family just glowing with happiness, and there's just something to be said about that, whether it's somebody's birthday party, an engagement, a wedding. You know, I love this business. I like taking care of people. I like being proud of the product we put out, you know, knowing it can stand up to anybody. So that's why I'm in this particular business. But, I mean, the reason I'm in business is to make money, you know.
Right. That took a lot of hard work to get to where you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Must be feeling good, right, seeing all your hard work coming to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anybody that goes into business for themselves pretty much at some point, you know, you got to put all your cards on the table. When we bought the first restaurant, I mean, we bootstrapped it, you know, and got it going. You know, when we started, I'm trying to think. I think we had three employees other than the owners, maybe two.
Okay.
Because we just couldn't afford it. And we didn't have any marketing money or anything, but we remodeled and started, and we just poured the money back into the business for a while until it worked out. You know, I mean, I think in our first few months, our budget said we had to do, I don't know, somewhere around 30 grand a month in sales to break even. And if I don't do 100 grand at this point, I'm not breaking even. just to show you how the one restaurant grows. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's, you know, when you want to go in business for yourself at some point, you got to put all your cards on the table and go for it and hope it works. And if it doesn't, you learn and move on to the next one.
Yeah, not everybody can do that. But, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. So, you know, so what's the vision here? I mean, where do you see yourself, you know, going down the line? I know you mentioned you're opening a hotel. So what's the vision? Because there's so much happening for you.
And it's hard because there's a lot of different visions with the different stuff we do. I mean, right now I'd say we're pretty focused on trying to get another lodging. We would prefer it to have a food and beverage component to it. But, you know, the being in lodging and having a history working in lodging, you know, there is a lot of money in lodging comparatively to small margins in food and beverage. So we're right now working on trying to buy it to about a 30-room hotel with a nice, well, it will be nice, with a restaurant already in it, you know, that has plenty of facilities to do weddings, and that's the target on that would be that would become kind of a wedding factory. So, I mean, that would be more in my, I don't know, my 1 to 3 year time to target would be to get another hotel up and running, but it's just to constantly be expanding.
Right.
You know, I mean, different areas, different stuff. I mean, our two restaurants right now are pretty similar in, they are similar. They're basically the same restaurant with different vibes. And we're looking to do some more maybe fast casual stuff. Just as the government regulations and stuff start to change, I mean, for what it's worth, we're trying to pare down employees. I mean, that's the bottom line is, you know, you start looking at more of a fast casual approach than a full service restaurant.
Right. Yeah. That's a trend I've been pretty much seeing across the world.
Yep.
Fine dining is pretty much out, and it's become more fun dining, casual fast food, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still plenty of room in the upper echelon if you want to go out and pump your chef up to be a celebrity chef and go for the super, super high-end, you know, $160, 5 courses. There's money in that, and they seem to do all right. There's a lot, but it's the middle restaurants I feel are getting crushed the most by the continued regulation. Then people are, I don't know, with the advent of the food truck getting popular and all that, people are more comfortable with a much more low-key dining atmosphere, I think, than they were even 5 years ago, you know.
Right. So are you planning to take Sauce, you know, are you kind of grow Sauce as a brand?
Yeah, we would continue to. Yeah, no, you know, we have a bunch of other concepts we've worked on, you know, from Sauce Whiskey to just like a whiskey bar, you know, Sauce, you know, all different ones. But yeah, I mean, our core brand Sauce that we started in 04, you know, we're going to keep going and adapt it to different things, but it'll probably, you know, for example, the second restaurant's called Sauce Belvin. We have concept that didn't work out that we were going for that would have been Sauce Whiskey, and it was like a high-end, it was a fancy whiskey bar, you know. So almost everything we do will be branded in some way with our main core brand. Even if it's Sauce Tacos, it's still going to be Sauce Tacos, you know. Sauce will still be the brand pushing all of it.
Right. So who came up with his name, Sauce? You, your brother?
It was, you know, it's harder than you think to name a restaurant, first of all, especially when you have a couple partners. But we kind of liked the name Sauce. When we were remodeling the restaurant, we literally, because we were painting the walls and, like, paint, we'd paint different names that we thought of the restaurant would work all over while we were working so that you were just seeing them all the time. And Sauce just kind of stuck. And then one of my business partners, as we were sitting around one day having a beer, took a cocktail napkin and was drawing, if you see our logo, it's kind of a cross between, depending on how you look at it, a ladle.
You're right.
Or you could see a nose smelling a soup or something like that, just depending on
how. That's
true.
Or a mouth
basically,
with a nose,
He basically wrote it out on a cocktail napkin while we were having a beer, and a friend of ours is still our, like, marketing design person, took that and created our logo, and off we went.
Amazing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of value in partnership. Good. So there's so much happening with you in your life. I mean, are you scared?
No.
Okay.
Never. No, I've never been. It's actually, I don't know, maybe a good trait, but, like, I've never never gone into any of the projects we do and thought we would fail. It's never crossed my mind. You know, I mean,
right.
Not that we haven't failed and not that we haven't stumbled, but we learn and move on. I don't want to sound like I'm perfect because I'm far from that, you know. But no, I don't worry. I mean, I think when we bought our building in San Francisco, that was probably the only time I was nervous, but just more because the amount, you know, just because if
right.
it didn't go through, it was kind of like, what are we going to do? It was a keystone to what we wanted to do, and without it, I don't know that we would have been.
Right.
I'd still be, you know, I would have done something else, but it would have pivoted. But other than that, no, I don't think in terms of, it doesn't make me nervous. I mean, every now and then when we open a business, we always go out and we get our business model, the way we work, is we usually go out and find partners, silent partners to invest with us. And so in the beginning, I would say I'm always a little nervous just because some of it's somebody else's money, and I obviously they know it's a risk, but it's still, you know, they're mostly people you're good friends with, so you don't want to, you know, you want to succeed.
Right.
But even then, I'm not really that nervous. I know we'll be able to, even if we have to pivot, we'll be able to
right.
pivot and make money at some point, even if what we thought we were going to do turns out to not be what we're doing, you know.
Right. Right. So what's exciting in the restaurant space? I mean, I'm going to just tailor this conversation more towards the restaurants a little
mm-hmm.
bit, because I know you're heading in a direction of hotels also.
Right.
In the restaurant space, I mean, are you excited? Is there something happening, something going to happen, or generally is there excitement? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, one of our, so Sauce Belden will actually turn 5 here on the 17th
okay,
of this
fantastic.
Month, so that's,
yeah.
that's exciting for us. You know, we've been meeting, me and my partners, we're talking about some redesign of the concept a little bit as people's dining changes to more, I don't have a great term for it, but I almost like the steakhouse feel of, like, you know, you go to a steakhouse and you get a steak and everything else is a la carte, and to move into like that style of food with regular food. And
right.
we've always been very big on our food is very shareable. We engineer it that way, you know, the way it comes, we want you to order 4 things and put it in the middle of the table and everybody try all 4 things, you know? So
that's
it's nice. More to try to engineer the entrees into more of that. We've started already with, we call it like a dinner for 2, and we'll do
right.
like, you know, a huge like tomahawk chop steak and the sides. So more evolving our restaurant into the even more shareable, and it, with the entrees being more shareable, you know, so when you maybe, you know, if you get the chicken parm, for example, one of our menu items, you know, it'll come out sliced up, so it's very easy to share and try different stuff. So it's exciting. It's just fun. And, you know, I mean, with the restaurants being in California, it's always fun. There's always just something new you've never heard of, some new produce,
right.
some new something, you know. I mean, one of the advantages of California is just the amazing amount of fresh everything you can get
right.
every day, you know.
Right.
So,
Nate, you know, the more I'm hearing from you is – it sounds like you're really passionate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like you just, you know, when we first began speaking, you said that you really loved, you know, doing, helping people out or serving, or the way the functions came out, or if you could make somebody's, you know, anniversary or engagement the best day. I mean, it means something to you. And it
Absolutely.
Looks, you know, and you got a couple of kids, you have, you know, you have a bustling family, a good business going. I mean, it's a lot of passion in there. So what do you get out of it? I mean, through this business, what is it doing for you personally?
Well, I mean, it does a lot. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not the kind of person that could be in a cubicle crunching numbers all day. Now, I crunch plenty of numbers for the restaurant, but, you know, working in a restaurant, you know, it gives me the freedom to do a lot of things that I want. You know, I mean, if I decide I want to take my kids skiing, you know, I work in a restaurant. You have that ability to bounce out and do other things. But I mean, for me personally, it's fulfilling. It's what I like to do. You know, I don't mind going to work. I love going to work. I love seeing all the people I work with. My, you know, our staff's amazing, you know, like they're friends. They're not just people to work for me. And, you know, to be able
right.
to sit down in the same kind of sense and say, hey, I'm going to go from sitting in a meeting with some lady to, you know, here she is in her wedding dress and everything went
right.
perfect, you know? So,
yeah, I can see that happening. what's the one thing, you know, that you want more of today? I mean, happy family, good business going. What's the one thing you want more of today, personally, professionally, anything?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I don't know. For me, like, I always want there to be a new challenge, as weird as that sounds, whether that's
right.
trying to acquire another business, whether it's growing one, whether it's even selling one. Like, we've realized, and so have my business partners, that after opening a new business, it takes us about 3 years, and then we get bored. And not bored, but we have between 2 and 3 years, we get the itch, and we start looking for another business, what's the next thing we're going to do? So that's what I look forward to, is what's the next challenge? How are we going to finance this one? Where are we going to find it? Is the lease okay? You know, like, it's always, and that's what I like about the restaurant industry, it's always evolving, it's always changing, it's not, like, stuck in its ways. You know, whether it's, I mean, I used food trucks, you know, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, if you drove up with a food truck, people would be like, what are you doing? Those are construction sites. Now they're starting to already go out, but, you know, it's interesting how everything evolves and people's palates evolve, and, you know, it's just fun.
So would you say that you derive excitement from this?
Oh, yeah.
What's
sure.
Excitement? Is that the word, or?
I would say more fulfillment. I don't know. I mean, yes, I get excited. I get really into it, but it just fulfills, you know, fills that part of me. I don't know, you know, to
right.
do what I do. You know, I don't go looking for, like, you know, I'm not sitting at my office being like, I'm bored. Let's see what else is out there. It's more like, what else can I do within what I'm doing? How can I grow
right.
and expand what I'm doing? Not, I want to do something totally different.
Right. So how would this growth, and this fulfillment, you know, when you feel fulfilled, how does that translate into the lives of your family and employees?
Well, I think, I mean, for the family, you know, if you're happy, they're happy. And the same with the employees, you know, if you are doing a business, first of all, if you're doing a restaurant and you don't love your restaurant, good luck, because it takes a ton of time and a ton of work. It's not an easy industry, so you better be passionate about it. And be passionate about what you're doing, too, not just the restaurant, but, you know, your food, your drinks, everything. And I think all that trickles into the feeling your staff has and the people that work for you. You know, if you're miserable every day, your staff can become miserable. They're a reflection of you. You know, the people
right.
that work with you are a reflection of you. So if, you know, you come into work pissed off all the time, it's going to create a pissed off environment for all your staff. You know, that's just,
right.
I think that's how it works. And general, you know, if you come in and you're happy and excited and this is what we're doing today and here are the specials and, you know, we've got this going on, everybody else gets excited with you. You know, it's like a, you know, contagious, so to speak, you know.
Right. You know, I learned that
yeah.
very late. When I started my chain of restaurants, especially in Asia, the culture is very different here. And I think you hit the nail on the head, which is, you know, you got to love what you do and you got to take care of your employees. And in Asia, because it's a different culture where there's a hierarchy, it's not
mm-hmm.
so open, you know. So there's more like, you know how a hotel would run. And for example, the waiter's at the bottom of the line. And then there's a
right.
restaurant manager. And then there's an F&B manager. And then there's a general manager. And more on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
And these designations really don't mix. So same in a restaurant, between a boss and the employees. It, at least on that side of the world, because of the hierarchy and the way the culture is, it took me a long time to understand that the only way that I can make my restaurant chain successful is by taking care of my employees. It took
Absolutely.
Me so long, and you hit, you know, yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And I mean,
yeah.
No, you're totally right, because the employees are a reflection of you. You can't
right.
talk to every guest in your restaurant. You can't seat every guest. You can't make every dish. You can't make every drink. So for what it's worth, every employee is your ambassador, and they're the reflection of what you want. So if your employees aren't happy, your guests aren't going to be happy. I mean, I know it's like
Absolutely.
The cheesy thing that's in every class you go to, but,
yeah.
you know, it's there's a reason, you know, that, you know, happy employees, the people that enjoy working for you, you know, you – it reflects on how they treat your guests. And that's the cheesy thing they've taught us all through school, but there's a reason they've tried to pound that into our heads everywhere you've ever worked, you know?
Yeah. So when did that hit home for you? When did you realize that this is it?
Well, I'd say pretty early on. I mean, we're all, like my business partners and I, we are very hands-on owners.
Right.
You know, we are, you know, I have no fear. If I need to bust a table, I bust a table. It doesn't bother me. You know, I know friends of mine that own restaurants that they go to their restaurants and they punch some numbers, but they don't, you know, I'll run the line. I will cook if necessary, you know, rarely at this point, but if I had to, I can, you know, but, and so we've always been close with our employees because we work with them. You know, they work with us, not for me, is a good way I look at it. I work with my employees out there, you know. But I'd say we realized it pretty early on. I mean, I think in hotels, when I personally got kind of burned out of hotels just, and I think that made me realize the importance of taking care of good people.
Right.
You know what I mean? My own experience working in the large hotels made me realize, you know, the people that I knew that had left hotels that were excellent and very good for the hotel, but just the culture didn't make it, you know. I don't know how to say it. Just, you know, like you were losing people because you weren't taking care of the people you already had, and it's so much more expensive to replace them and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I get that. I actually, you know, at one point, I may have had over 100 odd employees, and I had no idea what was happening with them. And I knew that I had to change the way I think. So I hired an HR consultant to come in, and she recommended, why don't I go and start interviewing each member?
Right.
And when she came back to me one afternoon, she shocked me because on this PowerPoint presentation, she only had one slide. It was a pie chart of showing me just mentioning one thing, which is the number one thing your employees are not getting is recognition. And that's the number one thing they want. They just want to know that they're being heard and they're valued. Money came much lower on the list. And
I think money's way lower on that.
Yeah.
I think everyone talks money, but the reality is if you're happy where you work, that's a much more important thing than most everybody.
Right, right. So how do you show appreciation to your employees? Or how do they feel like they're valued in your organization?
Well, you know, we do a lot of weekly meetings, basically like shift lineups.
Okay.
And, you know, I think one of the things that employees value as well is education, as weird as that sounds. You know, if you have a wine brand come in and you're trying different wines and you're putting effort into making them better, I think they appreciate that a lot. So we do a lot with that, you know, where we have different people come in, and whether that's, you know, our meat vendor coming in and explaining what the difference between a culotte steak and a hanger steak is and why grass-fed is different than no hormones, no antibodies. And so we do a lot of that. And we, you know, I work with them, and, you know, we do stuff. We take them to baseball games. We, you know, we try to do a lot of stuff with our employees to create more of that family atmosphere, you know, that everybody knows us. We're, as far as the owners go, we're very much on hand, like I said, so we're around. You know, I know who just broke up with who and all that, which I don't necessarily care about, but it does factor into, you know, wait a minute, why is so-and-so having a bad day, you know, or what's going on, you know, like, and we do care, you know, whether that's one of our bartenders doing a Tough Mudder competition in the restaurant, supports them by a donation just to show that we do care about them and what they're doing, you know, like those kind of things, you know, it's, you know, we put a couple people through sommelier classes because they wanted to, not because I didn't care, and they asked, and we said, sure, you know, that's good for me, it's good for you. So that's how we kind of do those kind of things.
Right. That's amazing. That's really amazing. So they must be feeling that there is a path for them to grow over here in with you, you know, that you invest in their education.
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's one of our issues is because we're not that large. I mean, we're just with the two restaurants. You know, there's a point when, you know, you have to say, you know, especially I would say more with our cooks in the back of the house. I mean, a lot of, like, my front of house staff, they're professional waiters. That's what they want to do. Most of them have other interests in life that being a server allows them to pursue. You know, just that lifestyle of a waiter is different than, you know, normal, I guess, 9-to-5 person. But more with the back of house, we definitely hit a point with a lot of staff where you're kind of like, guys, and we'll make introductions, but, you know, you've hit as far as you can go with us. So your next step has to be out. And my business partner, who's also the chef, you know, the head chef of everything, he's very good at, you know, when somebody hits that plateau of saying it's time, let's look, and he'll make, you know, he knows tons of other chefs, and he'll make introductions and see. But, you know, there's a point when you have to look at somebody and say, you got to move on from us too, you know, that we don't have the next step for you. So for you to keep growing, you got to get out from sauce and go do other things. So, you know.
You're right. So what's the biggest challenge you face in your business today with the restaurants? The number one thing that affects your business?
The government, 100%. Our restaurants are in San Francisco, an extremely liberal city. I love mm-hmm. San Francisco. But, I mean, we're the city in 2000, and I might have the date wrong, but 15 passed the $15 an hour minimum wage. So they basically mandated a 30% increase for everybody.
Correct.
Since then, they've added on 2 weeks paid vacation guaranteed. That's all on my shoulders. They have added on health care requirements. They're adding on paid maternity leave that I am, as the business owner, stuck with. So for me, personally, in the San Francisco area, is 100% the government is my biggest
right.
absolute challenge. And there's, you know, and it's difficult. And that's why I think everybody's, not everybody, but that's why fast casual is becoming so much more prevalent.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
I mean, it's the 100% from everybody I know in the industry that I talk to, it is how to lessen employees. How can we do what we do or pivot to a different way that requires less people? Point blank, that's the biggest challenge right now is employee costs.
Yeah. Right.
So, for us.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know, if I was in Austin, Texas, I might have a totally different view. But if you're in San Francisco and you've been there, there is no way your biggest challenge right now is not the government's hands getting in your pocket, basically. You know.
Right. So apart from pivoting, or, you know, for restaurateurs who aren't looking for new concepts but are stuck with their one or two restaurants that they're happy doing, if let's say that they're facing the same problem as you are with the increased wages, I mean, what choice is there? You just got to raise your sales. There's no other choice.
I mean, that's why, you got to look at your business. And, I mean, yes, I mean, obviously the easiest, and everyone's
correct.
Doing that anyway, is, I mean, you're going to raise prices, point blank. That's, you got to do that. Just the cost of everything's going up, because when they raised the wage cost, it's not like I'm the only one that got the wage cost. My produce vendor got the same wage cost increase.
Correct.
The milk guy did. The, you know, everything down the line did.
Correct.
So everybody's raising, you know, so that means the cost of meat went up and the cost of milk went up. You know, like, everything's going up because of it.
Right.
So you got to evaluate your own business and say, okay, what do we do? How do we do it? You know, and that's, I think, one of the reasons I was talking earlier about our kind of menu redesign we're working on, and it would be, it's going to be a significant change in how we operate or how we have operated in the past, but we also feel we can do it with a little bit less people, you know, different
mm-hmm.
ways. And whether that works or not, I don't know, but we're going to give it a try, because you can't stand still. You got to keep moving. So that
right.
would be it. I mean, but it's interesting too, and we'll be interested to see, because San Francisco's wage is higher than the state of California. So if you live, I don't know, 20 minutes out of the city, you're more willing now to drive in and work. So we've been dealing with a labor shortage as well, but I feel that
right.
that is, it's not, certainly not fixed, but I feel like it's better than it was a year ago. But I mean, because the wages are getting where they are, people are willing to drive farther to work in San Francisco. But I mean, just especially, again, cooks being the hard one, you know, there's definitely been, we've, at least for us, we've had a large, and not just us, the Bay Area has had a large lack of quality people looking for work, you know?
Right. Why do you think that's happening? Because that's another global phenomenon. Shortage of trained manpower.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, there's also in the Bay Area, there's been an explosion in restaurants in general.
Right.
You know, I mean, like,
right.
I think there's also been a massive wave of openings and people, high expectations and maybe low experience. So they are
mm-hmm.
paying and overpaying to get people. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have had cooks leave that, I'm sorry, when they told me what they were getting offered at a new place, I'm like, good luck. I mean, good for you.
Right.
But that
right.
doesn't, that doesn't make sense. This is what I can pay for the position you're in. You know what
right.
I mean? And if someone's going to, you know, you had a guy, very good line cook, leave, and he's getting paid, oh, I don't know, it was like $3 or $4 more an hour than we were to make sandwiches at some deli because the guy had the greatest deli concept ever. Well, the same gentleman came back looking for work 6 months later because the deli was out of business. So it goes hand in hand. You
that's
know,
pretty much how it looks like.
You know.
That's pretty much.
Yeah. So it's, and the same thing, you know, you have other restaurants, we're open all day, do lunch, whatever, and they'll try to poach out, you know, or recruit your talent or take your talent, but they also only want them for 4 hours a night instead of eight. So, you know, it's hard sometimes to explain to somebody when you're going to get more money, but you're really not going to make more money because they're only going to give you, you know, 20 hours a week and we're going to give you 40, but I'm not going to pay you what they are. So, but I think a lot of the reason there's a shortage, I think a lot has to do with the amount of restaurants that have opened, I think.
Right. How does that make you feel, though, personally? I mean,
What, more restaurants open?
No, I mean, the employees, you know, jumping a ship from you to, let's say, a competitor, another restaurant, or new employees coming in at much lower skill, wanting a much higher salary. Just this change that's going on that's in the employee market.
Oh, absolutely. And it's frustrating, you know, and it's frustrating to me more for our, like I don't mind as much if somebody, you know, if you work for me and I can only pay you a certain dollar amount and you go to an interview and they're going to pay you a bunch more. Hey man, you know, I get that. Go take care of your family, take care of yourself. That's fine. I've been in business long enough. I know what I can pay, and that, you know, as long as you leave in the right way, more power to you. Good luck. But what infuriates me is the idea right now that, you know, for us right now, I've got to pay, let's say, the lowest guy on the totem pole who's never worked in a restaurant, probably doesn't speak English, so he can't communicate with most of the staff, and he's going to make $13 an hour, or going to be 15 here coming up, and you're looking around at guys that have worked for you for years that are maybe only making 18, but that's what I can pay. You know what I mean? And it's just tough to look at that and be like, he has no skills. He doesn't know how to even peel a potato. And he's starting making that money. And that's frustrating more because I don't think it's fair to everybody else. But you roll the punches. I can't change it.
Right. I totally agree with you. This is happening all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, I think, for all owners. I know I used to get angry. When, you know, I used to have these guys come in with no experience and ask for the sky. And they used to go to these other restaurants, and these guys were paying them. Of course, these were new restaurateurs, and they didn't know how to do their costing, and it shut down after some time. But I don't know how it is. I don't know how, you know, is it the same in the United States where there is a shame factor? They just won't come back to you?
Yeah, usually.
For a job?
Yeah, I would say mostly, yeah. It depends, you know. Like I said, if they leave correctly, if, you know, and I'm talking most of, I would say, the entry level guys, your dishwashers, your janitors, your prep cooks, they don't honestly care an extra 50 cents. They're gone. Most of them, you know.
Right.
And yes, if they get fired, they'll come right back because they're just looking because they're entry level. They don't have skills. They haven't built it up. But, you know, most of our, like, I would say, like, line level or lead prep guys and all, you know, guys actually cooking that have skills. Most of them, first of all, I feel like they come see us first. You know, if they say, hey, I just stopped in and these guys are willing to pay me this. And we might talk about it. And maybe there's something I can do to keep them. Maybe not. You know, we do a lot of, as weird as it sounds, we pay for a lot of cell phones at our work. It's one way we've chosen to incentivize guys that work long enough. You know, for us, we'll pay for your cell phone. It's a nominal cost to me, but they see it as a massive benefit to them. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm paying your $80 a month cell phone bill, that's a lot better than me paying you an extra $2 an hour, but they feel the same gratitude back. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But most of the time, when those, that level employee, if they say, hey, I got offered more, or so-and-so's opening this hot new restaurant and I want to go over, go for it. And I feel like when it doesn't work out, they have no fear to come back, say, hey, it didn't work out, and maybe we have a spot and maybe we don't. But But no, I don't think the shame's nearly as I don't know. I don't think people care as much about it here. And
right.
especially
right.
Yeah, if they quit, if they're supposed to work Friday and they don't, and they just say, hey, I got another job, they don't come back. But if they come
right.
in and sit down and say, hey, you know, Nandu's opening this badass restaurant, I want to go work, you know, I'm really excited about what they're doing, good for you, give me a couple weeks so I can fill your spot, thank you, move along.
Right.
And if they come back later, then if we can make them work, we do. But it's important to do it the right way.
Right. So a very important question. Now, I'm referring only to your business, not external
yep.
factors like the government. What's your biggest challenge in your business today, within your business?
I would probably still say, you know, it's keeping the employees and keeping them happy. I mean, I think that's, as weird as it is, cooking the food is a overall technical skill that can be taught to most everybody, but it's a more, you know, when you have a good employee, keeping them. And when you have 10 good employees, keeping them happy, keeping them excited, you know, so they're doing the best they can. And I don't think that's
right.
going to change. I don't think that'll ever change. I think when you're an employee business like a restaurant, they
right.
are, you know, they're pretty much the most important factor. Yes, you have to serve good food, but that's more of a technical thing. Like, you have to buy the right product and prepare it correctly. But if the person serving it doesn't know what they're doing, it can ruin the meal, just as a mediocre meal can be made good by the person serving it. So I feel from the cooks to the servers to the host to the bartender to the to everybody, it's all got to work together. So that's the biggest challenge always. Because you
right.
always have way different personalities, and it's how can we get this all to meld together and work as one cohesive unit, you know, every day.
So would you say that your number one challenge is retention or efficiency?
I think it's all of it. I think it's not that simple as one thing. I think it's more the employee as a whole is the number one challenge always, whether that's
right.
retention this month or, you know, filling spots or training. I mean, I think it's always in a restaurant, we're a very employee heavy business. So it's always something to do with the employees is always what you're focusing on. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. So how do you feel about that? I mean, it must be frustrating, right? Managing many different personalities and
part of the business. So
let me not put words in your mouth. How do you feel about it?
About what?
About just managing so many personalities, getting everybody on board every week at this, you know, together.
No, I mean, that's part of the business. You got to like to do that. I mean, that's
right.
just part of working in restaurants. So, you know, to me, I don't mind at all. That's part of the fun or the thrill of a restaurant is
right.
making it all work. You know, taking all these different people from different backgrounds and different things and getting them on your page, on the same page. Hopefully it's your page. You know, and doing things the way you want done, and you know,
right.
But I don't find it frustrating. I think that's just part of being in a restaurant. You know, it's as much as I complain about the minimum wage. Well, that's part of being in business in San Francisco. It's not like the guy down the block's got a different set of rules. We're all playing by the same set. It's irritating. But no, I
so
would say
for
me,
so once you've got these guys on the,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Nate. Go ahead.
No, go for it. Once I got them, what?
Once you got all of them on the same page, how does this affect your business? You know, whether it be profits or mostly profits,
well,
let's say profits.
Yeah, I mean, once everybody's on the same page and doing what you want them to do, I mean, that's how your business is profitable. That's when you're selling more. That's when food cost is lower than expected. That's when labor costs are down. I mean, when everybody does the job in the way you've envisioned it when you set your restaurant up, that's how you make the most money. I mean, that's low waste, you know, getting the most efficiency out of everybody, getting the most sales out of every person that sits down, you know, it's knowing who to upsell and what to upsell to who. It's knowing, you know, it's when everybody does, when every cog in the wheel does what it's supposed to do, that's when you're most profitable. So that's why it's always that challenge to make sure everybody is on the same page. Make sure everybody's doing it the same way. You know, consistency in a restaurant is an enormous factor, and by being on the same page, that's how you become consistent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So So doing this, achieving this, because this is not a simple feat. What you just
Oh,
spoke
God.
about is not a simple feat. But
Not
having
even close.
achieved this, you know, must be feeling amazing, right? I mean, that
It
shows
is, but it's also a
maturity.
constant. You know, it's not like you climb the top of the mountain and you look out and you're done. It's, you know,
Right.
every day it's a constant, constant, constant driving force in the restaurant, for what it's worth. I mean, that's to be consistent and to get everybody on the same page is it just because Friday night everybody was on the same page does not mean Saturday they will. You know, there's always
Right.
room for improvement. There's always room for tightening it up. There's always, you know, it's yeah, when it all works, it's awesome. But it's a constant, it's just constant part of the daily life, you know, of the business.
Right. But so what you're saying is it's great that it's happened, but it has to happen every day. And you got to go
Right.
at it every day.
Absolutely. You know,
Okay.
and it's an always evolving thing, you know, like 2 years ago, what would have been perfect is not the same as what perfect would be today. And it won't be the same as it will be in 3 months. I mean, it's as the restaurant evolves and changes and the staff evolves and changes. And there's times in my restaurant, you know, when we've had phenomenal staff and everything clicks and, you know, everything's perfect and it's, you just think this is the greatest thing in the world. Look at it. This is exactly how in my mind everything would work. And then two people decide they're going to move and you lose two guys and somebody breaks their arm. Life
Right.
happens and you've got four new cogs in that wheel to get up to speed. And, you know, it's just it's ever evolving. But when it works, it's phenomenal.
Right. Right. So that must be taking away a lot of personal time, right? Having to deal with all of this.
Actually, at this point for me, no. I'm in New York currently, not in San Francisco. So yes, up until I moved, it did. Now it falls on my other partners. I'm in New York. So when I was at
Right.
the restaurants, yes, it was
Right.
part of every day. But that's, you know, we're big on doing daily engagements. You know, you meet up before the shift. We go over stuff. We talk. What do we need to work on? And we try to keep it simple. You know, you don't want to. I feel like meeting with the staff regularly is much more effective than quarterly or whatever. And a lot of people don't take the time to do it. And I feel like you can nip stuff in the bud very quickly when it's just one or two things you want everybody to work on a day versus, okay, we're going to have our quarterly meeting and sit down and I'm going to just spew at you 50 things that need to be changed and made better.
Right.
It's a lot easier to say, all right, today, guys, let's just make sure we're marking our silverware before everything comes out. And that's all I really want you to worry about. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Everybody starts doing
Right.
it. Great. Tomorrow we can work on something else, you know, but maybe it takes 3 days to get that down or whatever, but you know, that's what you have to do.
So did you ever involve your employees in the, you know, the targets for the month, the profits you're making? What was there transparency or was there apprehension towards transparency?
Yeah, no, we don't really go over. We do talk with our employees about how we're doing in a very, I don't know, general way, but not
Right.
a very specific way, I guess is the best way I can say that. You know, I don't talk
So,
numbers with my employees like, you know, we're down 10,000 or we're up 20,000 or whatever.
Right.
But we will definitely talk about, you know, guys, we're coming into a slower time. We need to focus because just because it's slow doesn't mean we can slack off, you know, or we really try to focus a lot on the upsell, you know, and that's where that training comes back into mind of like, here are the wines. Let's, you know, let's get bottles of wine on the table tonight, not glasses. Let's do that. You know, we need to, but we don't talk a lot. I don't talk very, pretty much any numbers with staff.
Why is that? I mean, would you mind sharing?
Because I think as a restaurant person in general, we tend to try to look at the bright side every day. And so I want them to be happy and
okay.
Not, you know, I feel like most of my staff has been with us a long time. They know us, they can tell when we're having a good or bad month, I would say by
right.
the way we are. But
right.
I also feel like I need them to portray happiness and excitement in what they're doing. And I don't want
right.
them stressed about stuff that really isn't their fault. You know, like I don't
right.
want them worried in that sense. You know, I mean, for what it's worth, restaurants are, you know, I don't dime a dozen, maybe the wrong way to say it. But, you know, if I go in and 3 weeks in a row I tell them our sales are down and this and that, I feel like there will also be people that will start to look for possibly another job. Does that mean this place is going to close? Does that mean, you know,
right.
And I'm not trying to portray that, you know, just because it might be a bump in the road. We're not at that point. If we were to get to that point, maybe I would have to sit down and say, hey, guys, things have to change. But currently, no, I don't really go over that kind of stuff. I do with my, you know, like I have a couple chefs, those kind of people I do go over the numbers with, but the, I guess, line level employees, I do not.
Right. Okay. So that was great. So let me now just switch gears really quick here. If you had one wish for your business, what would it be for the restaurant?
I don't know.
Any wish in the world. Any.
Yeah, I know. That's a big question, you know. I don't know. You know, I don't look at it in that sense. Like, there's not one thing that would, like, make it better or worse, you know. I mean, yes, I guess my one wish, if I had enough money that I didn't care about the P&L, God, they'd be a fun place to be, you know.
Right.
But, no, you know, I mean, I also feel that my partners and I are very – we kind of do what we think we should do when we think we should do it, and whether that's conventional or not, you know, and if that means we need equipment, we buy it, and if we need to hire more, we do, and if we need to trim staff, we do. So I don't have anything that I sit here and go, I wish we could do that, you know.
Right.
I feel like if I wish we could do that, we would do that. You know, we'd find a way.
Right.
So, you know, I guess it would be to continue success and continue expansion, you know. That would be
right.
Be what I'd want.
So if you had to go back and give your younger self some advice, what would you tell yourself? What's the one piece of advice you'd give your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to remember that sometimes you need to step back and work less in your business and more on your business. What I mean is, you know, when we first started, I'd wait tables, I'd bartend, I'd cook, I'd do whatever had to get done to make the business run. But by doing that, it cost us some years of expansion because we were so focused at working in the business, we didn't
mm-hmm.
focus on the business, right? So we didn't focus,
right.
Instead of, you know, if I'm like, oh, well, we don't have a server to come in, or I'm going to cut labor by not having a bartender and I'll bartend tonight, you know, whatever. That also means that I'm not then focusing on getting more people in the seats and getting marketing out or going to look at a new property or working on the menu, you know? So I think it took me and my partners a while to understand that we needed to work less in the business and more on the business.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
You get so caught up in the day-to-day
yeah.
sometimes that you forget
mm-hmm.
about the growth and the, you know, and all that. And, you know, you're just focused on the day-to-day and making everything work and all that. That sometimes you forget to step back and work on it. You know, how are we going to get more people in? How are we going to expand? Where are we going to expand? You know, and all of a sudden weeks turn into months, turn into years. And that's what I would try to tell myself.
I agree. If you had to share one secret to help the restaurateurs who would be listening or reading to make more money in this business, what would it be? Let me rephrase. For some, having more free time or more money is equal, you know, a life that they'd like
yeah,
to live.
Yeah, well, I think that's definitely, there's two, I'll go to both parts of the question. I think.
Right.
The one thing that's super important that I think most people, especially with their first venture, it's most people's first time in business for themselves. A lot of people might have worked in other people's restaurants or hotels, but the first time you get so excited, you have in your mind, you have the best concept that it's going to kill it. You know, it's first of all, it's take the time to write a good business plan, go through your numbers. And when you're all done with your numbers, drop your sales easily 25% and raise your expenses 20% and see if you can still make money, because that's probably what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. your lease, licenses, and location in the States, I'm sure it's worldwide, they are the difference maker. I mean, they're the reason everyone says location, location, location. I mean, it's a very big thing, and I've seen way too many people I know go into restaurants and pay way too much in rent because they wanted this spot or that spot, And in the end, they don't make money because their landlord's making all the money. And I think they're very, very important things that in the beginning, when you're so excited, you don't focus on as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, you're going, why are we not making money? And it's because you're paying $4,000 extra a month than the guy next to you because you didn't have a good lease or you didn't negotiate a good lease. And it never goes away. You have a slow month, your lease is the same, you know. And then the second part, I think free time and money are a little hand in hand, but you've got to have a balance or you're never going to make it either. Restaurants require so much work and so much time that you have got to find time for yourself and your family to make it work. Because if you don't, you're going to burn out and your restaurant's going to burn out, you know, whether that's just you being unhappy and that's going to portray it through the staff and it's just going to trickle down, but you've got to find a way to get time for yourself.
I don't know how you do that because
it's different in every restaurant. I don't have the magic how you do that, but it is an important thing to do.
What did you do to find that balance?
For us, it was big. You know, all of us have always made sure that there's at least one day a week when, like, I pretty much try not to even answer my phone. You know, no matter what. Just have that day that's, you know, for me, it was usually Sundays that it was like my family day and I'd go do stuff. And my wife and I both knew that Sunday was our day. So we'd plan stuff, you know, and it just worked for us. But, you know, I mean, I have friends that own restaurants that close 1 or 2 days a week and one because they don't, I have business partners. So we can stay open yet still have a time off. Whereas I have friends that are, you know, maybe a husband, wife, proprietor, and they just straight up close a day a week, if not two, because they're like, that's the only time I can actually step away from the restaurant. And that works for them. But you got to figure out what works for you and your business.
Right.
But it is extremely important.
That's extremely important. I learned the hard
way. Yeah.
okay, so I'm going to stop recording. Just stay online. Yeah, just a second.
Sure.